listening to Paulette Edwards, and this week we've been looking at alternative and complementary health treatments. And under the spotlight today is Feldenkrais. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but Diane Hancock is a fully qualified teacher of Feldenkrais, and she's here to enlighten us this afternoon. Diane, first thing I have to ask is, have I pronounced it properly?
You have. Well done. Mm. Yes. It confuses a lot of people because it's named after Dr. Moshe Feldenkrais. And as I was saying to some people just earlier on, we almost wish, lovely man though he was, he had a different name.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, most people have heard of Pilates these days. Well, if you think about it, 20 years ago, people have said, what a strange name that is. But that was named after Joseph Pilates, who developed his system of movement. And some people have tried the Alexander technique, and that was named for F. Alexander, who developed it. And they all knew each other. So Moshe Feldenkrais, he was a Ukrainian Jew who travelled over to Europe, actually basically escaping during the Second World War. So he ended up in Paris, and he got interested in judo and martial arts. And he was the first guy to bring judo to Europe.
Right. So it's a system of movement.
So it's a system of movement, and that's how he put the sort of two. So he put his interest in. He was an engineer, so he was interested in structures. So if you think of in structures, yeah, and then if you put some of the martial arts moving together, this all sounds a bit wacky. Honestly, it's not as strange as it sounds.
We can unpick it, don't worry.
But that's how he put the two things together, and he thought about how can we use the structure of our skeleton to move more easily and more efficiently. But that's why it's called Feldenkrais, because it's named for Dr. Moshe
right.
Feldenkrais.
So how did you come across Feldenkrais then?
Well, interestingly enough, I'd spent a lot of time working in theatre. I started off as an actor, and then I was a director, and I've done lots of that sort of stuff. A few years ago, I was going through a very, very stressful time. One of those personally and professionally very stressful. In the middle of all of this, I was working with a bunch of kids. I jumped up and my back went. Mm. Now, I'm pretty fit and healthy and always have been. So it was just, it went. I was laid out with it.
So when you say your back went, how did that feel and what happens? Because people say that, don't they? My back went.
It goes. Well, it was a lower back. So it was down in the It was. I was lucky. It wasn't a disc, but I locked the lower vertebrae.
Right, so you couldn't move.
So I couldn't move, and I'd never been laid up like that before.
Had you had pain before then? Was there a build-up?
No, but what was interesting is, I say, it was a stressful year. So psychologically, mentally, I was tense, and I was holding a lot of grief. To be honest, Paulette, I'd kind of had lots and lots of things. I was being brave. So, and we all do this, we hold ourselves very tightly for a long time, and you get so used to holding yourself tightly, you think it's normal. And that's that thing about not really examining, really stopping and thinking, you just charge through life going, I'm going to hang on by my fingernails until life gets better. So anyway, I spent a few weeks in bed, never had that before, got over the pain and the actual injury, but when I got up, I knew I had to get on with work, but I was scared. I had a pain memory, so although I wasn't in any pain, I was stiff and scared and moving. So I was due to go and work with another theatre professional called John Wright, who had done a lot of work with Feldenkrais as part of his training. So he was a Feldenkrais fanatic, yeah. So the first couple of days we worked together, part of the warm-up we used to do to start off before we worked is he'd teach us some of these movements for like half an hour every morning. Well, on the second day, I, without thinking about it, I was doing all this mad clowning work, and I could have chucked myself across the room, did a double somersault, and went, well, hey, and suddenly went, oh. And it was literally like one of those revelations.
You'd forgotten about your back.
I'd forgotten about my back. I'd never moved so well for many years. It was amazing.
Did you forget about the sort of grief and the stress as well? Was it a psychological thing as well as a physical thing?
Oh, interesting one. I think I'd repatterned to know that I had confidence in moving and a freedom, and that made me feel better about myself as well. And I think for a lot of movement, we talk about complementary medicine, a lot of the time you can't separate out the body and the mind. And I think that sometimes when you find a way of moving better, you feel better about yourself. So mentally you feel better. And sometimes mentally when you feel better, you move. You know, you can't treat the two things separately.
And now would you factor the word freedom into all that then? Is that a part of it?
It is. Freedom is so much a part of that. Because I think that it's about freedom and about confidence. So when you do the Feldenkrais work, what you do is you do very simple, easy patterns. You don't work into stress and strain. You're not huffing and puffing and trying to prove something. You're finding a very easy way of moving and trying to extend your movement range, doing the sort of patterning that you might have done when you were a little baby. Like when you're, for the first 18 months of our lives, we learn more than we'll ever do in the rest of our lives. And we learn it, we think about babies, through interest, enjoyment and pleasure. A baby rolls around and reaches for things because they're interesting or it's fun or it's nice. A baby would hardly ever roll into something because it's horrible and painful and because the other baby's doing it. And we do that all the time. We get in a gym class and we nearly murder ourselves because we're trying to please the teacher or prove that we're better than the next person.
So as you were doing this then, and as you said you did the little techniques that your friend kind of taught you at the beginning, and you kind of realised that there was a kind of a result to all this and you felt better as a result of it. Did you, because I know that you now teach Feldenkrais,
yes,
don't you? Do you know if it was developed as a way to relieve stress, or is that a byproduct then of the movement?
When Moshe Feldenkrais developed it, he had had two very serious injuries through sports to his knees. And what they said, and this is in the 1940s, they said, right, you're going to have we're going to try a knee replacement operation. The chances of that being successful in those days was pretty bad. So he thought about this a bit and then he went, no, do you know what? I'm going to try and work this out for myself, which again is unusual. Most of us just depend on our surgeons. Mm. So he, again, went back to his engineering knowledge and went, right, OK, the knees are quite sort of like a delicate, small part of the whole system. But you've got the rest of your body, your rest of your skeleton, to support it. So, first of all, he started looking at how could he get the rest of the skeleton to move in a way that would take the pressure off the knees, to relieve that, to give them the chance to heal and to possibly not take as much strain and stress as they had been. So that was the move before it.
BBC Radio Sheffield. Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit more about it with Diane Hancock. She's a fully qualified teacher of Feldenkrais. It's the form of alternative therapy that we're discussing this afternoon. Alternative or complementary. People use both terms, don't they? I'm going to do a little bit of Feldenkrais with you, I think, Diane.
Yes, you are.
Because I've had a little bit of surgery in the last couple of weeks, so I reckon you'll be good for me this afternoon.
Right.
And we'll position ourselves during Michelle Shocked and Anchorage. That works well, doesn't it?
That sounds great.
BBC Radio Sheffield. You're listening to Paulette Edwards. And we're talking about Feldenkrais this afternoon, and it's a form of treatment, a form of therapy, an alternative or complementary form of treatment. And it kind of is based, from what I'm finding out this afternoon, on how you move your body. Diane Hancock is in the studio to help me with this, and she's going to Feldenkrais me, aren't you, Diane?
I'm going to Feldenkrais you.
You're going to Feldenkrais me. So I'll come round to that side where you are, because I need to be standing, don't I, for you to do this to me. Right, I'm coming round.
I mean, saying that, we work with people either in sitting and standing or in lying. It can be at your desk, but for the purposes of this programme and Feldenkrais in Paulette.
Right, you're so okay. I've recently had an operation. Right. I've been sleeping a lot, so I've been on my back, on my side. I've got my hips are a little bit sore, my back's a little bit sore, and I would like you to kind of knock me back into shape.
Ooh, well, as I said, we can do a longer session, but just as a little bit, one of the easiest ways of understanding Feldenkrais, I think, is to do it.
Right.
Yeah? And this is, so I'm going to... So what's different about Feldenkrais than a lot of other exercise systems or whatever is that I'm not going to demonstrate. So I'm going to sit here and you're going to get to do it. I'm going to talk you through it. And I'll tell you why later. But so what's easiest is, can you sort of stand and face me?
Right.
Right.
Turn around that way.
What I want you to do, just relax for a second.
Relax a bit,
okay.
Yes.
Now, what we're going to do is, I think we'll start on your left. So if you can, you raise your left arm and put... listeners at home can do this as well.
Yeah, join in with some Feldenkrais.
This is easy. So I want you to put your left arm up and kind of see where your left wrist bone eyes.
Yes.
Just put it in front of your eyes.
Right.
So you're kind of at that level, yeah?
Yes. So I'm looking at my watch.
See, yeah, exactly. That's perfect. And if you look, so leave your arm where it is and then look a little bit beyond your arm. Can you see to the wall beyond you? Yeah?
Yes.
There you are. But look at your, look now look at your wrist. There
yes.
you are. You look at your wrist.
So I'm looking at the side of my watch, not the face
that's
of my
fantastic.
Watch.
That's fantastic. Okay. Yeah. So what are we to do? This is just to mark, is to gently turn round. So you turn the whole body.
Right.
Like that.
Towards my arm
yeah.
that's raised.
And to just see how far around you can go
right.
easily. So you just sort of
so
swing round a little bit. You turn round. So
my degrees aren't great here, I don't think, Diane.
No. You're saying, but keep the wrist in front of your eyes.
Oh,
there you go.
I moved it out, sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. So come back. Don't worry about this. I'm going to, just for a second, I am going to demonstrate a little bit, because sometimes it's... Can I say, listeners, that poor Paulette is standing here and she's got somebody holding a microphone in front of her mouth. It's quite
I'm a little bit scared,
so,
actually.
Stay there. Right, OK.
Right, so... I've just got to twist my waist, really.
Yeah.
Keep
yeah.
my wrist
so
like that.
Careful,
keep looking at my...
have been, I had not brushed, so just...
Right. Go around.
Just
OK.
I'm sweet. Times. Don't worry about it. There you go, it's lovely,
isn't
it?
Yeah, I can do more than I thought.
Well...
Again.
You see, that's it. Now, that's enough. So this is you now. Next time you do that, keep nice and relaxed. There
yes.
you go.
So yeah.
just notice when you go around, if you're looking at your wrist, how far around you go comfortably. So if
right.
you kept them all in that kind of configuration.
Straight position. Okay,
and then.
Then.
Just see how far you'd go around. Where it's comfy. And then just stop. Don't go any further than where it's comfy. And then come back.
That's right. I'm showing off a bit. You don't need to show off.
No, you don't show off. You see, this is trying to please teacher, and
yeah,
we all do
see.
It automatically.
Yeah.
Right. So that arm, same arm. This time, I want you to just push with your left hand over your right shoulder, as if you're pushing something off your shoulder.
Right.
Yeah?
Now that's holding the microphone. I don't want to punch him in the nose. So
do you know
Rav
will going to have to sort himself out? He's a big boy.
He's
he'll be
producing,
fine.
But I don't want him to
but
be
I want
knocked
you to
out.
Just swing like that.
Right,
so
swing
yeah.
away from...
So you don't have to talk, so you can take the microphone away and I'll talk, right? Don't worry. So I just want you to just relax and breathe. Just look at me and then just breathe. Just relax and just switch. I call this the dead parrot. I want you to imagine you're pushing a dead parrot off your shoulder. Because who would want a parrot on the shoulder?
Just particularly dead.
A dead one. No, get off.
Lovely.
You can sing the song. Do you remember the push the parrot? Push the parrot.
I thought it was catch the pigeon.
I know, but for some reason.
Push the parrot.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm in the spirit of this.
Fantastic. Marvellous. So you've done it a few times. All right, now stop for a minute and then just. Go back to doing exactly what you did before and just swing around and see if you can go any further.
Yeah. A little bit.
There you go.
Yeah, a tiny bit more. What's so important about being able to do this movement? Because I don't do this movement in normal life.
Well, exactly. It's a little bit of repatterning. You can relax now.
Right.
Now, on one side will be different from the other side. So that will probably give rather nervous breakdown if he's going to try and move that microphone.
No, we don't want that. He's going to need some Feldenkrais with all in this microphone.
So you can... This is... You were saying about things you can do very simply. When you do this, what you're doing is the first time you're thinking, oh, I must kind of turn that way. And so all you're thinking about is, how do I do that? And then what you're doing is you're just letting the shoulder slide over the top ribs when you're pushing your parrot, yeah?
Right.
So it's giving your shoulder a chance to explore another pathway so that when you turn the opposite direction, it does what it's learnt, but in a different configuration. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but how is that going to help me then? How does that to de-stress me or get rid of pain?
What that will do is it'll help you move. It's really hard for you to do at the moment because you're kind of going, I'm trying not to move, Rav. But, okay, I'm going to show... I would like you to do this. So I'm going to hold the microphone.
Right,
there you go. Right, now you go. Don't go near the microphone.
Here.
Right. So I want you to... I'm going to leave it there. So I'm on microphone, you're on microphone. They can hear you. So I want you to try it on the other side because sometimes one side will be better than the other. Now, all I want you to do is just swing round. Swing round towards Rav. There you go. And breathe. And then come back, yeah? Be careful if you've had an operation at least. You don't want to push. So just swing again. Just notice how far around you can go so you can see Rav, yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, push that parrot... Go on, push that parrot. Off you go. Dirty, relax with it. parrot.
Get rid of that
parrot.
Push the parrot.
Push the parrot.
The parrot's being pushed. It's off now. Yeah.
So what you're doing, keep going doing that, is that you, if you get the feeling of sliding, that shoulder blade is sliding over the top ribs, yeah?
Yes.
Just in a way that quite, it's a nice safe pathway, so you're not going to damage your shoulder in any way, but it gives your shoulder a chance to release a little bit. Mm. And that's a pathway that you would have used very much as a baby, as an early infant, but as adults, we're quite often we actually rotate our shoulder the other way. We don't think about going this nice safe pathway. So now just try going back and seeing if you can swing further than Rav.
I can look at him now.
OMG, we've got a result. Way.
Goodness, that's made a difference. Right, I'm going to go back round.
And what's interesting also is that you find that one side would be easier than the other. Yeah, so there you go.
Right, so
my
right side then.
Yeah, so your right side released a lot more than your left. So maybe your left didn't need as much releasing. The thing that is interesting with Feldenkrais is about noticing difference. So that's what we do with people is to, yes, I kind of will teach you, but you've learnt something and you'll hold on to that because you'll start to notice, oh, right, oh, something's interesting happening here. And that's different from that side. And that's how you can start to own what's going on for you rather than being fixed by somebody else. Then it goes wrong again and you come back. You know, you start to work at it for yourself.
I think we need to give our lovely assistant, Rav, our producer, a round of applause because he was very good at holding the blue microphone, wasn't
it?
So you said that it can release stress.
Yeah, yes.
You said that this is the bit that I really liked about it because having just been in the hospital for a while, and it wasn't a bad experience at all. I feel now that I want to take more responsibility for my own health and I want to eat well, take care of myself and move better.
Yeah.
And we don't normally consider a system of movement because we think about medication, don't we? Think about feeling better straight away.
Yes.
But is this a kind of a preventative way of treating yourself?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I find, like, people say to me, how often should I do Feldenkrais? Or how often do I do Feldenkrais? And I do say, actually, I do it all the time because it's a bit like when I sat down today, the first thing I'm thinking of is my feet are far off this chair. I need to lower the chair. I need to actually get my feet on the floor so I'm comfy. Whereas quite often what people do is they sit somewhere and their body doesn't fit the furniture, so they just put up with it.
I think we need to talk about that. BBC Radio Sheffield, we're talking about Feldenkrais. I've got Diane Hancock with me and we're talking about what we can do ourselves to make sure that our bodies feel better. So very, very briefly then, in terms of buying furniture then, sofas, chairs, when you're at work, what just give us a few tips that we need to consider.
Very simply, if you're at work, you've got your office chair. If you can't lower it so that you... What you want to do is when you sit, you should have your feet on the floor.
Flat.
Flat on the floor. And if you look, you should try and get your leg at a 90-degree kind of bend, if you see what I mean. Mm. That means that your pelvis isn't tilted, which means your back will be kind of comfortable and supported. And if you can, you're sitting on your sit bones.
Right.
Yeah? If you can't do anything with your chair, then you know those telephone directories that none of us know what to do with anymore.
Yes.
This is what you do with them. You put them underneath your feet until you've got your
that
feet
right angle.
Kind of like the floor and the legs at right angles. That simple thing can make a huge difference.
And what did you say about putting socks on to me earlier?
Putting socks on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, well, it's the thing about being kind of comfy when you are doing any kind of exercise and not going into stress and strain and cold, yeah? So it always sounds like the lazy way of doing it, but with Feldenkrais, we don't do huffing and puffing, we don't do pain. It's very important to be comfortable, and it's more important to fall asleep than it is to break out in a sweat.
Dan Hancock, it's been a delight to talk to you. Thank you very much for Feldenkrais-ing me. I made it into a noun on BBC Radio Sheffield.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.